لا يفرج كربا فات مضنينا ويزرع الورد فينا والرياحينا وينشر الهدي إيمانا وموعظة
This is a Quranic exegesis in the English language, courtesy of Malam Ahmed Issa, the Chief Executive Officer of the Barakate radio station, in memory of his late father, Malam Issa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich his father with the prime paradise.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة فاتحة الكتاب مكية وهي سبع آيات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه جميعا حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. Esteemed listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Today, Friday the 24th of April 2020, which is equivalent to the first day of Ramadan 1421 after the glorious migration of the greatest messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We are very delighted to commence the interpretation of the Holy Quran in the English language. Optimistically, it will avail an opportunity to many Muslims who are non-Hausa speaking to know a little about the content of the Holy Quran, and also to know a little about the tenets, teachings, and the injunctions of the religion of Islam. Firstly, I would like to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making it possible for us to commence the Quranic exegesis in the English language this year, 2020, which is equivalent to 1441. Hijrah. We immensely thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enriching us with this golden opportunity. Secondly, I would like to express our profound gratitude to Malam Ahmed Issa, the Chief Executive Officer of this very famous and esteemed radio station, for giving us a free airtime with a view to interpreting the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan in the English language for the benefit of humankind, regardless of any social consideration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly for this unprecedented magnanimity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everything of his, and may the gentle soul of his departed father continue to rest in absolute peace, because this Quran is a scripture that is laden with unquantifiable divine blessings. Hence, we implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich the father, that is the late father of the Chief Executive Officer of this station, with the prime paradise, because it is in whose memory that this Quranic exegesis is being transmitted on this very famous radio station. As you all know, the Holy Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Firstly, it was revealed from Allahul Mahfuz, that is the preserved tablet, to a place called Baytul Izzah, that is the house of might, in the first heaven, in the month of Ramadan, in the night of power, that is Laylatul Qadr. This implies that the first revelation of the Holy Quran from the preserved tablet to the house of might took place in the month of Ramadan, as I mentioned earlier, in the night of power. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr.
Verily, we have revealed this holy book in the night of power. That is Laylatul Qadr. Then subsequently, its revelation from the house of might to the greatest messenger of Allah began in the month of Ramadan also, 17th day of Ramadan, 13 years prior to the migration of the greatest messenger of Allah from the city of Mecca to the city of Medina. This cumulatively implies that the month of Ramadan is the month of the Holy Quran, because the Holy Quran was revealed in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, شَهَرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ الْآيَةِ. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed to serve as guidance to humankind. Therefore, I congratulate the Muslims generally on the coming of this year's month of Ramadan. In order to appreciate this divine magnanimity, that is the revelation of the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan, we should do all that we can to accord tremendous honor and glory to the Holy Quran by making sure we embark upon its recitation throughout this period according to our capabilities. Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah be pleased with him, was reciting the Holy Quran to completion twice daily during the month of Ramadan. In other words, he was completing the Holy Quran twice on every day of Ramadan up to his demise. That means in every month of Ramadan, he completed the Holy Quran 60 times. He did that in order to accord the due respect to the Holy Quran and also to express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bestowing on this blessed community of the greatest messenger of Allah with the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on us the Holy Quran. Therefore, we should do all that we can to express our gratitude to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Imam Shafi'i, may Allah be pleased with him, was completing the Holy Quran twice daily during the month of Ramadan. In other words, in every month of Ramadan during his lifetime, he completed the Holy Quran 60 times also, as did by Abu Hanifa. May Allah be pleased with him. Therefore, we should do all that we can to emulate the view of Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. We should also do all that we can to be listening to Quranic exegesis in order to acquaint ourselves with the teachings, injunctions, and tenets of the religion of Islam, so that we could do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins us to do, and also to keep away from transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subsequently, after we have learned a lot from the Holy Quran, or after we have learned a little from the Holy Quran, whatever we have learned, we should also endeavor to put it into practice. What the Quran says we should do, we should make concerted efforts to do it according to our capabilities. What the Quran says we should not do, we should do all that we can to ensure that we absolutely keep away from it, as instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran begins with the opening chapter in accordance with its series and arrangement, not on the basis of revelation. The opening chapter, as recited by the reciter a while ago, is known famously as Suratul Fatiha or Suratul Fatiha Til Kitabi. The opener oh, the opener of the book. That is the opener of the Holy Quran. Naam, bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Naam. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Prior to the interpretation of the phrase Bismillahir rahmanir rahim, I would like to say that the opening chapter has 12 names. It is called Suratul Fatihatul Kitab. That is the opener of the book. It is called thus because according to the Quranic arrangement, the chapter comes first. That is, Surat al-Fatiha comes first, not on the basis of revelation, but on the basis of Quranic series and arrangement. Hence, it is called the opener of the book. The book here refers to the Holy Quran. It is also called As-Salah, the prayer, because the five daily prayers are not definitely going to be considered as valid if this glorious chapter is not recited by the worshipper. For one's prayer to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to recite the chapter while establishing the five daily prayers. And in each of the units of the prayer of the five daily prayers, the chapter must be recited by the worshipper for their prayer to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is called the salah, the prayer, because the prayer is definitely going to be considered void if the chapter is not recited in any of its unit. It is also called Ar-Ruqya, the healing. It is called thus because it serves as healing to any sickness. That is why it is designated the healing or ruqya. Another name of it is Alhamd, the praise, the thankfulness, because its second verse begins with Alhamdulillah. Ash-Shifa also refers to healing. Another name of the chapter is Al-Quranul Azim, the glorious Quran. It is also designated Ummul Quran, the mother of the Quran. Why? Because the entire knowledge that is contained by the Holy Quran is embedded in it. Whatever you want to get in the Holy Quran, you can get it summarily in this chapter. That is the opening chapter. Hence, it is called the mother of the Holy Quran. Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. The book here also connotes the Quran. Al-Asas, the fundamental one, or the foundation. Al-Mathani, the oft-repeated one, because it is repeated in every unit of prayer. The Quran says, وَلَقَدَ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. Verily, O Muhammad, O Messenger of Allah, we have given you the seven verses which are oft repeated.
and we have equally given you the remaining part of the glorious Quran. Al-Wafiya, the adequate one. Al-Kafiya, the sufficient one. If our Eastern listeners have been going or have been following us, would have realized that we have enumerated the 12 names that belong to this very glorious chapter of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Al-Fatiha. The reciter, when he was reciting the chapter, said Makiyya. Now it has brought us to the place of revelation of the chapter. Where did the chapter get revealed? Where was it revealed? When was it revealed? Was it revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, was still in the city of Makkah prior to his migration to the city of Medina, or it was revealed after he had migrated to the city of Medina? Makkiyya simply means a Meccan chapter. In the science of Quran, whenever you hear Makkiyya or Madaniyya, the two refer to the period of revelation, not the place of revelation. A Meccan chapter refers to a Quranic chapter that was revealed prior to the migration of the greatest messenger of Allah. Whether it was revealed in the city of Makkah or in the city of Medina. Provided it was revealed prior to the Makkah to Medina migration of the messenger of Allah, it should be considered as a Meccan chapter. Any chapter that was revealed after the prophetic migration to the city of Medina from the city of Makkah, it should be designated as a Medinite chapter, Madaniyya. For the reciter to say Makkiyya, it means the preponderance of the Quranic exegetes had agreed that this chapter was revealed prior to the migration of the Messenger of Allah to the city of Medina. But there was lack of consensus in relation to that Quranic issue. Some Quranic exegetes asserted that it was revealed after the migration of the Messenger of Allah to the city of Medina. Hence, they had designated it as Madaniyya. This clearly showcases that there is no consensus presently as the period of the revelation of the chapter. Then there is also a school of thought in relation to this that differs to the two earlier positions I have mentioned. In other words, there are some Islamic scholars, particularly Quranic exegetes, who have asserted that this chapter the opening chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha, was revealed twice. Firstly, it was revealed in the city of Mecca, and secondly, it was revealed again when our great Muhammad, peace be upon him, migrated to the city of Medina. Going by that, I humbly say that Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and among the successors of the companions was Imam Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him. The two I have mentioned represent the companions of the Messenger of Allah and the successors of the companions who affirmed that Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed prior to the migration of the Messenger of Allah to the city of Medina. Hence, they designated it as Makkiya. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, was among the companions of the Messenger of Allah who asserted that Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed after the migration of the Prophet to the city of Medina. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, may Allah be pleased with him, was among the successors of the companions of the Messenger of Allah who asserted that the chapter was revealed after the Messenger of Allah had migrated to the city of Medina. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was very famous in terms of Quranic exegesis, in terms of Islamic sciences, inter alia. In fact, he committed the Holy Quran to memory within 8 days. Then Abu Ishaq Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Tha'alibi asserted that this glorious chapter was revealed twice. It was revealed in Mecca prior to the migration, and afterwards revealed in the city of Medina after the migration of the greatest Messenger of Allah. Prior to the migration, it was revealed. After the migration, it was revealed again. This is the position of many Islamic scholars, of which was Abu Ishaq Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Tha'alibi, a very prominent Quranic exegete. Some even went ahead to say that part of the chapter was revealed prior to the migration, and the remaining portion of it was revealed only after the Messenger of Allah had migrated to the city of Medina. Be that as it may, I would like to say that the most powerful of the positions I have mentioned is the position that says the chapter was revealed prior to the migration of Muhammad, peace be upon him, to the city of Medina. That is why today it is called Makkiya. Then the reciter, when he was making the recitation, said Sabu Ayat. This refers to the quantity of verses the chapter contains. Sabu Ayat. It has 7 verses. But there wasn't consensus right from the onset on this. But the preponderance of Islamic jurists had agreed that the chapter contained 7 verses. This is the position of the majority of the Islamic scholars. The minority opinion came from Al-Hussein al-Ju'fi. He asserted that the chapter contained only 6 verses, but his position was an aberrant position. This opinion of his is today considered as very aberrant. Then there was a rationalist theologian, Amru ibn Ubayd, who considered Iyyaka na'budu as an autonomous verse, bringing the total to 8. This position of his is also an aberrant position and opinion. In a nutshell, the chapter contains 7 verses. Why 7? The number 7 is very special to the Muslims and the religion of Islam for the following reasons. 1. The heavens are 7. Also, if you look at the cornerstones of the religion, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, they all contain 7 letters. Al-Islam, if the word is meticulously studied by one, they would really comprehend the fact that it contains 7 letters. Al-Iman also has 7 letters. Al-Ihsan also have 7 letters. And the aforementioned are the 3 cornerstones of the religion. Circumambulation of the holy Kaaba Tawaf is achieved only when the worshipper circumambulated the Kaaba 7 times. It means the figure 7 also appears in the issue of circumambulation of the holy Kaaba. The symbolic stoning of the devil, which is one of the rituals of the major pilgrimage, is also achieved when the worshipper throws 7 pebbles at the Jamarat, that is the pillars, although they are currently they have been turned into walls. They are no longer pillars. Presently they are walls. Gates of the hellfire are also 7. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from occupying any of them. Then also prostration is conducted with 7 parts of the body. When one prostrates during any prayer session, if you study them carefully, you will notice that they have really prostrated on 7 parts of their body. The forehead and the nose constitute 1 part. The 2 palms must be placed on the ground. The two knees must also be embedded in the ground. And the two sides of the leg, the toes of the leg, must also touch the ground. This, if one meticulously studies, we realize that during prostration we use 7 parts of our body. This clearly showcases that 7 is a very special number in the religion of Islam. It is also very special to the Muslims. Now, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Now, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This Quranic phrase is called Basmala. It contains 19 letters. The phrase is found in 114 places in the Holy Quran. At the beginning of each Quranic chapter, the phrase is found, with the exception of the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah. Then the replacement of the omission at the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah is found in Surah An-Naml, the ant. Innahu min Sulaymana wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. This implies that the Holy Quran contains 114 basmala. Now, let us study its component words. Allah, Bismillah. And prior to that, I would humbly like to mention to our esteemed listeners that the aforementioned Quranic phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, contains the entire knowledge of all the scriptures that we are revealed to various messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prior to the revelation of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed 113 scriptures. The Quran was revealed as the 104th scripture. There were 103 scriptures prior to the revelation of the Holy Quran. When the Holy Quran was revealed, the total scriptures that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to various messengers of His became 104. All the knowledge that were embedded in the 103 scriptures that were revealed prior to the revelation of the Holy Quran was revealed and embedded in the Holy Quran. In other words, the Holy Quran contains the knowledge of the previous scriptures in their entirety. Then this knowledge of the Holy Quran, including the knowledge of the earlier scriptures, 103, were embedded in the opening chapter, that is Surah Al-Fatiha. And the knowledge of the opening chapter was embedded in this phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the knowledge of the phrase was embedded in its first letter, the Ba. In other words, the entire knowledge of the scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been graciously embedded by Him in the first letter of this Quranic phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that is the letter Ba. Now, if you take the phrase, you'll notice that it contains
one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and two attributes of His. Because Allah originally is the most significant of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman is considered as a name, but actually is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Ar-Rahim. But the three are technically considered as names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name Allah appears in the Holy Quran 2,697 times. That means from Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, a verse of the opening chapter, to Min al-Jinnati wa Nas, which is the last verse of the Holy Quran, if one counts the name Allah meticulously, they would find 2,697 Allah in the Holy Quran. And the name Allah appears in the Holy Quran in three categories. It appears as Allahu, where the last consonant of the name have the vowel sound, the short vowel sound, U, above it. Allahu. In this format, Allahu appears 980 times in the Holy Quran. Then it appears Allaha. This is due to grammatical influence. Allaha, where the last consonant of the name has the short vowel sound A on it. Allaha. In this format, the name appears 592 times in the Holy Quran. Then the third style or format is a situation whereby the name Allah has the short vowel sound E underneath its last consonant. Allahi. This is also consequent of a grammatical influence. Allahi appears in the Holy Quran 1,125 times. So now, if you take Allahu, which appears 980 times in the Holy Quran, Allaha, which appears 592 times in the Holy Quran, and Allahi, which appears 1,125 times in the Holy Quran, you would definitely arrive at the figure 2,697. So the name Allah, which is the most significant name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appears, as I said earlier, 2,697 times in the Holy Quran. Allah simply means the deity that is worthy of being worshipped. Allah. And miraculously, no deity that was ever worshipped was addressed as Allah. Even Pharaoh, when he asserted that he was a deity, he didn't call himself Allah. What he said was, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your most superior Lord. He couldn't say he was Allah. In other words, nobody on this planet
had ever called himself Allah, and nobody on this planet was addressed as Allah by anybody who decided to worship them. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman appears 57 times in the Holy Quran, and it means the beneficent, that is, the generous one, the one who does good to all and sundry. Whether you believe in him or not, he enriches you. Whether you believe in him or not, he gives you healing whenever you have fallen sick. Whether you believe in him or not, he gives you according to his wishes whatever you want. Ar-Rahman simply means the one who is magnanimous to all, regardless of whether you believe in him or not. Take for instance, there are many people presently in the world who don't believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but nevertheless, he has enriched them with stupendous wealth. There are also those who believe in him, and he has equally enriched them stupendously. There are those who have fallen sick, despite the fact that they have not believed in him, he subsequently bestowed on them healing. And there are those who have fallen sick after they had believed in him, and he had equally enriched them with healing. In a nutshell, Ar-Rahman means the one who is very generous to all and sundry, regardless of any consideration. Remember, the name Ar-Rahman, or the attribute Ar-Rahman, appears 57 times in the Holy Quran. Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim appears 95 times in the Holy Quran. Its meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to the believers by enriching them with the guidance. In other words, Ar-Rahim means the one who is merciful to the believers, the one who has enriched them with the guidance. This is exclusively for the believers. This magnanimity is exclusively for those who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is it a verse of the opening chapter, or it is not? There is no consensus on that among the Islamic jurists and also the Quranic exegetes. For instance, in the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, this Quranic phrase Basmala is part and parcel of the opening chapter. Hence, in his school of thought, if one establishes any of the five daily prayers without mentioning Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim while reciting the opening chapter, their prayer is definitely going to be considered void. The prayer is definitely not going to be accepted. In fact, it is not a prayer, according to Imam Shafi'i. Because if one does that, it means they have wittingly and deliberately omitted a portion of the opening chapter. But in the jurisprudential verdict that was expressed by Imam Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, he asserted that Basmala is not a component of the opening chapter. Going by his verdict, if one establishes any of the five daily prayers, and while reciting the opening chapter, they have decided either wittingly or unwittingly not to mention the phrase Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim during their recitation, despite the fact they have done that. Their prayer is a valid one, and by the grace of the Almighty Allah, it is definitely going to be accepted. This portion of the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, plays a very important role in our day-to-day activities. It is greatly recommendable for one to mention it whenever they are to start the commission of any lawful act. For instance, when you are to start eating, it is a recommendable act for you to say Bismillah, which is more preferable than even to mention the phrase completely. That means when you are to eat, you are recommended to say Bismillah. Alternatively, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But the first one is more preferable. When you are also about to drink something lawful, you are equally expected recommendably to utter this Quranic phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Or summarily, you are to say Bismillah. That means I am starting in the name of Allah. When you are to start recitation of the Holy Quran, you are equally recommended to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or concisely just say Bismillah. So it plays a very important role in our day-to-day activities. When even you are to write a book, you are expected to start the authoring of the book by writing Bismillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that any act of nobility which has not been started by the actor with this phrase Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then the blessing of Allah in relation to that act is definitely going to be not a complete blessing. At this juncture, I would humbly say that we are going to pause here, and inshallah, the Quranic exegesis in the English language will continue tomorrow by the grace of the Almighty Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for whatever mistakes we might have committed during this Quranic interpretation, and may He also accept our religious activities during this very significant month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich us with blessings unquantifiably. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
This is the end of today's Quranic exegesis in the English language. Inshallah, tomorrow the Quranic interpretation continues. Thank you.
يفرج كربا بات مضنينا ويزرع الورد فينا والرياحينا وينشر الهدي إيمانا وموعظة فبالجهالة قد خابت مساعينا.